We'll go to the defenders now. We'll start at left back.
Okay, for left back, I have chosen Canadian Alphonso Davies.
Well, that's a good player, but I will choose as a left back Roberto Carlos.
Ooh.
All right, good stuff. Let's move on to our center backs, starting with your left center back, Cole.
Okay, with the best free kick in the world, I'm going to have to up my game with my first center back being Franz Beckenbauer.
Well, that's a good center back, but I will go with Sergio Ramos.
All right, things are heating up. Who do we have for our second center backs?
Okay, for second center back, I have chosen Vidic.
Well, that's another good player, but I am choosing Cannavaro, the Italian center back.
Awesome. These are two big names from when I was your age, actually. So who do we have at right back?
One of the best right backs in Europe for a long time. I'm going to go with Philipp Lahm.
Well, that's a good player, but I will choose as right back Cafu.
All right, that'll do it for our defenders. Who do you think has the edge so far, listener? Let's keep it rocking here into the midfield. Who do you have at left center mid, Cole?
For left center mid, I'm going to choose one of the best players currently, Jude Bellingham.
Well, he's doing pretty good last season, and we hope that he gets the same this season. But I will choose with an old player, Matthäus.
All right, Antonio's going old school here. Shout out to all the parents and grandparents that are listening. Who do we have at center attacking mid here, Cole?
Okay, for my center attacking midfielder, in my opinion, the best French player of all time, Zidane.
Well, Zidane, that's a good player. But I don't have any option. I will choose Maradona.
Oh, Antonio going for El Pibe de Oro, as they called him. How about center mid on the right?
Okay, another player that's been pretty good this season, Musiala.
Well, he went pretty far on the Euros, but as Sam said, I'm going with old school, so I'm choosing David Beckham.
Oh, a Los Angeles Galaxy legend. Okay, well, that'll do it for our midfield, as these two are putting together a 4-3-3 formation. So it's time to go into the attack. So, Cole, who do you have at left wing?
Okay, left wing, I'm going to choose, in my opinion, the better out of the two rivalry, CR7.
Well, that's one of the best players. He did a really good rivals with Messi for so long. And they fight for the Ballon d'Or too many years. But you leave me without an option, so I'm choosing Kylian Mbappe.
All right. It's getting heated here. So who do you got up top as your striker?
For striker, it has to be the reason I started football, Lewandowski.
Well, Lewandowski, really good player, but I don't know. Nah, Ronaldo Nazario.
Okay, and we only have one player left on each side here. So who do we have finishing out our starting 11s at right wing?
Okay, since I went with Ronaldo, I can't go with Messi based on honor, but I have to go with Di Maria.
Well, you leave out Messi, so I'm choosing Messi, the best of all times.
Debatable.
All right, things are getting heated in the studio here. A lot of great picks from this generation and generations gone by. Who do you think has the edge here, listener? Or perhaps do you think you could put together a starting 11 that could rival either Cole's or Antonio's?
Hi, my name is Asha, and I'm speaking with
Hillary.
So, I know that Across the Board is a board game place in a restaurant. What job do you do?
I'm the general manager here at Across the Board.
Okay. What's your favorite menu item?
Ooh, probably my favorite right now is the rice bowl. I eat that one a lot.
That sounds good. What's your favorite board game?
that's always a tough question, but one of my favorites is called Just One, and it's like a party game that you, as a cooperative, so you work together to try to get someone to guess a secret word.
That sounds fun. What's the most popular board game in here?
It's hard to say the most popular, but some of our, like, classic popular ones are Telestrations or Code Names, which are games that are easy to play in big groups and are lots of fun.
What's the most popular food?
Probably our board game club sandwich.
That sounds cool. Why did you choose to work at Across the Board?
Well, I knew someone who worked here a long time ago, and I like the cafe and all the people who work here, and I've always enjoyed coming to work.
What's your favorite thing about working here?
Probably the people, and also the customers are, they're always happy because they're playing board games, which is very nice.
Yeah. Is it an option to have a birthday party here?
Yeah, we have lots of birthday parties here. Yeah, from little kids to adults. They bring their families and their friends.
So what would it look like if there would be a birthday party here?
It's pretty similar to just a normal experience. It's just, yeah, people come with their group and they play games. We've got people who will help teach games for your group. You can bring in your own cake. We do, like, a birthday sundae for you if it's your birthday.
Can you describe, like, a typical day at work?
Well, for me, I do lots of behind-the-scenes stuff. So I'll make the schedule, and I'll maybe I'll help make some drinks and serve some stuff. And I'm also planning events and making posters and all sorts of things. It's kind of a whole bunch of stuff schmozzled into one.
Well, it was nice talking with you, Hillary.
You too. Thanks for coming in.
Bye, everyone.
This was Asha's interview. Sadly, she couldn't make it today, but she took out of her time on Radio Camp, and she made this. I hope you guys like it. It was Across the Board interview.
Radio Camp would also like to thank the Spence Neighborhood Association, Diversity Food Services, the University of Winnipeg Recplex, the University of Winnipeg's Events and Academic Services. Next up, we're going to have a Taylor Swift trivia quiz and a Cinematheque interview.
Hi everyone, I'm Amalia.
I'm Anushka.
And I'm Maddie.
And today we are hosting a Taylor Swift trivia.
We have three contestants for this. Let's let them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Asha and I'm a Swiftie.
Hi, my name's Ari. I don't even know who Taylor Swift is.
Hi, I'm Cole.
Let's begin. First question. What is Taylor Swift's middle name?
Taylor Swift, James Charles.
Wrong.
Okay, second question. What is Taylor Swift's birthday?
1989.
January 13th. Oh, Friday the 13th.
All right, third question. Does Taylor Swift have any siblings?
Yes.
Which one?
What pop star is the song Bad Blood said to be about?
Toxic relationships.
Okay, what is Taylor Swift's signature lipstick color?
Beige.
Purple.
Cherry red.
What's Taylor Swift's lucky number?
19.
13. Yeah.
How many Grammys has Taylor Swift won?
18. 18.
21.
19.
Okay, what are the names of Taylor Swift's sister albums?
Cruel Summer and Bad Blood.
Those are songs.
Lover and...
It was Full Court Evermore. What is Taylor Swift's second studio album?
Red.
Close, but no.
1989.
Nope.
Reputation.
Nope. Fearless.
Where can you watch the movie version of the Eras Tour?
Disney Plus.
Okay, so what is one of the names of Taylor Swift's cats?
Poppy.
Bad Blood.
No. What was Taylor Swift's debut concert tour?
Eras Tour.
The 1989 tour.
Close, but no. Fearless tour.
Oh my God, Cole.
What album did Taylor Swift write on her own?
Folklore.
Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
Lover?
Red.
No. Reputation?
No.
Okay, what year did Taylor Swift win her first Grammy?
2008.
2002? 2003?
2021.
Close,
but no. All right. 5'8".
Nope.
5'9".
Nope.
5'10".
Yep.
It's a tie.
There's one more question.
Okay, last question. This is a little, like, extra question. This is a Taylor Swift lyric. So, in which song does the lyrics, "It's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me," show up in?
Anti-hero.
Yeah.
No!
Yes, Cole.
I know that one.
Not Swiftie.
I know that
one.
Which is our, and Cole is our winner. With the tiebreaker question, anti-hero is the answer. Hi, I'm Amalia, and I'm at the Dave Barber Cinematheque, and today I'm going to be interviewing two people, and I will let them introduce themselves.
I'm Olivia Norquay.
And I'm Nick Kineski.
All right, so what do you guys do, first of all, in this Cinematheque?
So I'm the programming coordinator, so I pick all the movies that play and organize events and figure out partnerships and stuff like that.
And I'm the box office manager, so I order the popcorn and help support the box office staff. I handle rentals, so sometimes folks will rent the theater for birthday parties. And occasionally I pick a movie once a month. Yeah.
Awesome. So on that topic, how do you guys choose the movies to play? How do you make sure it's like inclusive of all genres and things like that?
So we do have a mandate here. We play a lot of independent films, Canadian, international cinema, basically whatever you wouldn't see at like a multiplex. Mm-hmm. So we try to go along with that and then try to play new things that it might be tough to see, or even like old restorations of films that people might not have had a chance to see in the theater.
Awesome. Do you have anything to add?
Well, yeah, so my series is every month, and it's based on the zodiac sign. So I have to pick a movie with the director who's born under that zodiac sign. So, for example, like Libra, we played Twilight because the director, Catherine Hardwicke, is a Libra, and it's just a very Libra film. So that's kind of a fun prompt that helps me choose the movies.
Is that every month, or...?
Yeah, so we do it every month. It's called Astral Projection. Yeah, it's really sweet. And the thing that's nice about picking movies here is that we're a nonprofit, and so we're doing it for the movies, not for the money. So we're not picking movies based on what we think will make the most money or sell the most tickets. It's the movies that we actually enjoy and think are important to screen and share with people.
Speaking of movies that people enjoy, is there one like going on right now that people have been enjoying more?
Say Yenta has been popular. Oh, yeah. The mm-hmm. documentary about Wet'suwet'en resistance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's been really
good.
Popular. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people are excited for the Studio Ghibli series.
Yeah.
That one's going to be really popular.
Yeah.
I noticed that. I was very excited for those ones.
It's going to be all throughout August, and we're playing about 8 films. Also, the Death Tour is opening on August 9th, and that's... about wrestling, not a team, but yeah, wrestlers going to visit northern communities and performing. And yeah,
awesome. So the name of the Cinematheque is Dave Barber Cinematheque. So who was Dave Barber, and so like, what did he do?
Yeah. So Dave Barber was the programming coordinator for about 40 years until he passed away a few years ago. So he kind of created the Cinematheque, and yeah, it was such a huge part of the theater's legacy.
Do you guys, like, often discover movies that you probably wouldn't have, like, noticed otherwise, like, when you find stuff to put on?
Oh, for sure, yeah. It's, I guess, every month, trying to figure out the schedule. It's, like, a little, I don't know. It's just, like, discovering new things and, yeah. How do I answer the question?
It feels like a scavenger hunt.
Totally, yeah.
Sometimes.
Or, like, solving a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's nice... I think I've discovered a lot of movies because of what you program, Olivia, and like getting to come here and watch movies here. I've discovered a lot of new movies that way, which is mm-hmm. really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you prepare for a new movie release when you get it ready and stuff?
I feel like it's not as glamorous as maybe it's an email job. So, just like being in touch with the distributor and sometimes the filmmakers and people involved in it and trying to figure out the best dates and also what time like would work for us. And
there are like terms of booking a movie. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay the distributor for like the rights, and they'll send the movie. And then afterwards I'll do a report with all the box office attendance. Mm-hmm. So they know how many people came and like what we made in admission, and then we'll either pay them part of that or a flat rate. It's very boring.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to what goes on behind the scenes of the movie. Is there any unique stories in the history of the theater that you could tell us, or just parts of it that make it unique? Is there anything? You mentioned the nonprofit before. Like, is there anything else to go with that?
I think that allows us to maybe take different risks because, like Nick said, like we don't necessarily have to worry about our bottom line the same way that, like a multiplex would. Mm-hmm. So that, I don't know, it allows us to have like a little bit of fun that way.
And we're also like a part of the Winnipeg Film Group, which is like the larger organization, which is a big artist-run center, and we're the only. Like artist-run theater in the province, and I think we're definitely the only independent theater in the city.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the province, but we're unique, in that way, just the structure of what we do. I'd say the building's also maybe a little bit haunted.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely haunted.
Yeah, the projection booth is definitely a little bit haunted.
So that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. I recently saw a movie here in French, actually, The Three Musketeers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my parents are really, really happy because it's not often you find French movies in a theater like that.
Yeah.
So when and how did both of you start working here?
Well, I started working here maybe about 5-ish years ago. I started in the box office. actually. Okay. And then I learned how to do projection, and then eventually started programming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I started almost 3 years ago, and I also started in the box office, and Olivia hired me. Olivia interviewed me, and I was really nervous. yeah, and I worked in the box office for a while, and then learned projection, and then became the box office manager.
Ooh. So what are your guys' favorite movies that are on right now that you would say?
Kind of all of them.
Oh, yeah. August is pretty exciting.
There's so many I haven't seen. A lot of the Studio Ghibli I haven't seen. I'm really excited to see Scala.
Oh, yeah. Scala's great. Scala's a documentary about kind of a repertory theater in London. We also have a series every Tuesday, which was like cheap tickets, where we show kind of like cult classics and kind of more trashy stuff. I have a horror series that I do every other month, where my co-curator and I, where we introduce and talk about horror movies. So we're showing The Vanishing on August 29th. Awesome. And it's pretty, but it's upsetting though. It's not for children.
Yeah, I know.
We do have all-you-can-eat cereal cartoon party on Saturday 17th. Yep. A little bit more kid-friendly.
Yeah,
stuff your face with sugar.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Are there any, like, special partnerships or, like, organizations that you've been involved with recently for movie showings?
Yes, we partner a lot with Jazz Winnipeg, Send and Receive,
Urban Shaman
a lot. They're super supportive. And Sukrums for the Trash Cult. Yeah, a lot of like other sort of like nonprofits and festivals and things. We try to try to reach out to them.
And what have people said is like their most memorable part of like the theater experience? How does that happen? Like, do you know?
I think we're just such a unique place, like a theater very different from other theaters, especially working in the box office. I think a lot of patrons like how personable it is. Like you come and you chat with the person scooping your popcorn and people will stay in the lobby afterwards and chat about the movie. And we have like talkbacks, Q&As, special events. So I think it's about the movies, but also about the community that exists here and the opportunity to meet other people who love movies.
Yes, yeah, totally. And we have a lot of regulars too. So we
a
lot of familiar faces.
Yeah. I think that was everything. Thank you so much, both of you.
Of course, thank you so much
Thank you. I'm definitely coming back for the Studio Ghibli. I'll move you there. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Hey, guys. We'll welcome back. This was
Amalia's
interview of
Cinematech. And now I'm going to tell a joke. Okay. I recently lost something at a senior's home. I searched every nook and granny. Ba-dum-ching. Coming up, we're gonna have a music break, and then you're gonna hear Hallie and Ari as hosts. So, peace out.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive, and the world, I'm turning inside out, yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy, so don't stop me now, don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time, shooting star, leaping through the sky. Yeah. supersonic man out of you. Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you wanna have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now. Try to have a good time. Don't stop me now. Yes, I'm having a good time. I don't wanna stop at all.
Hello, I'm Hallie Kendall.
And I'm Ari Yip.
And you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. And we're your new host for right now.
Yeah.
Next up, you have an improv skit by Cole and Ari. And then followed by that is an interview. Then a spooky story. I love spooky things. What about you, Ari?
I've watched The Conjuring. That's like it.
That's it.
Yeah.
I heard about this new movie in the theaters called Long Legs.
Oh, yeah,
the scariest movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the improv is about to start in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, I'm Cole.
And I'm Ari.
We're gonna do some improv. Here's Hallie with our prompt.
You are climbing up Mount Everest and you stumble upon a glass slipper. What do you do?
Ooh, Ari, this mountain is really hard to climb.
I know, I, need a sleep.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I see a ledge over there. Maybe we can get to that pretty soon.
Yeah, and then set up our tents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's gonna be so nice.
Wait, I see a leg poking out of the ice.
Oh, let's get up there.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we're just hallucinating now.
What is that? Monkeys on a tree.
What? It looks like a slipper.
Wait, that's the one my mom spanks me with.
What?
Never mind, let's get back to climbing.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have worn these ice pick heels and used them to climb.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're almost there. Yeah, there we go. Now we're on the ledge. Okay.
Investigate the slipper. I'll set up camp.
Okay.
Hammer, hammer, hammer. Tent building noises. Okay. I got our tent set up.
I found the slipper. It's just a slipper.
Oh, really? Let me see it.
Yeah, here you go.
It feels hard. Like it's made of glass or something. And we're probably just seeing things. Let's go to bed.
Okay, good night.
Good night. The next morning.
Oh.
Whoa, is that just me or do I see a girl coming here?
Oh, let me see this. Oh, yeah, that looks like your mom.
Rude.
What, I had to say it.
Okay, it was kind of funny. Kind of looks like Cinderella?
Oh, baby.
Don't be weird, Ari.
Fine. I mean, look at my phone profile.
Stalker.
What?
Well, let's go over to her. Do you want to bring that slipper?
Sure.
Wait, it's still glass.
How is that possible? I guess we can
try to do something. I'm gonna be the prince! Grab slipper!
No, I want it! No, give me! No, you can kiss the frog!
Ew! You can kiss the frog!
Okay, wait. We should be climbing the hill, the mountain.
Yeah, the mountain, yeah.
Okay, wait, what is that? Is that a Japanese flag? On the very top of Mount Everest? Wait. I thought we were the ones that were going to climb it first.
No!
Wait, do you hear that? It sounds like a helicopter's coming.
helicopter noises.
Whoa, bro.
Oh, are they coming to rescue us? Because
I can't make it down without dying, bro.
Good thing I brought a sled.
Split.
My insides are on the outside.
Is that Cinderella? Why is she kissing that dude?
That should be me, bro. Yeah, it looks like a hobo.
Yo. Cole.
Yeah, Ari?
You wanna go get some Chinese food?
Yeah. The end.
Hello, I'm Hallie Kendall.
And I'm Ari Yip.
And we're here at Into the Music with...
My name is J.P. Perron.
Very nice. So we have a couple of questions for you today.
Okay, the first question is, what was your first concert and how old were you?
Oh, my first big concert was Canadian rock legend Bryan Adams. I went with my mom when I was 12 or something. And yeah, it was pretty loud, but I came to love rock and roll.
Awesome. It's really cool.
Okay. Who is your favorite singer / band?
Oh, I really like a lot of old, like 50s and 60s rock and roll. I really like Link Wray and bands like The Cramps from the 80s, yeah.
Very nice. I like 50s music as well.
Oh, great.
And 80s pop.
Yeah.
Perfection.
What inspired you to work at a music store?
Oh, it's kind of a little bit of a dream job. I've always been really into music and records and trying to find old records. Not always. I think I heard a lot of stuff on the radio, on different community radio stations, and it always made me want to start collecting and discovering stuff. So yeah, once I got the bug, I just really, really loved doing it. Yeah.
Thank you.
As a little side note, my Uncle Larry and my Guido, they collect records.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all old people like Johnny Cash, but...
Oh, I love country music, too.
Okay. Do you have a musical idol, and why is it that person?
Yeah, like I said, I'm really into people like Link Wray and like early rockabilly and things like that. So just... They kind of were innovative in the energy and the way they played music, and yeah, I think it inspired a lot of other artists too.
Has it ever changed over time, or has it been consistent since you were like a child?
I guess I really didn't know a lot when I was younger, and maybe my folks weren't really heavily into music, and so a lot of my friends really were. So I was able to discover stuff through my friends and like listening to the radio. Now me and my partner, we volunteer at CKUW, and we have a radio show on Monday nights. And so we really discover a lot of stuff through being able to do the radio. And we really hope to pass along things that we like that maybe other people haven't heard.
That's amazing.
Okay, next question. Does the name Into the Music have any meaning?
Greggy said that it was named after like a Van Morrison album. I think the Van Morrison album is called Into the Mystic. And so it's kind of like play it like Into the Music, like you're getting into the music crates and digging and trying to discover more music. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Who do you think is the most overrated singer and why?
Overrated? I feel kind of like a lot of people, you know, like, don't like something just because it's popular. Sometimes I feel like you gotta take the opportunity to listen to something before making a judgment. So I try not, especially working in a record store, I try not to pass judgment on anything. Even if it's popular.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. Ari, you can have the next two questions.
Okay. What do you think is the coolest band name and why?
The coolest band name? Ooh. Maybe some of the psychedelic bands like the Chocolate Watch Band or the 13th Floor Elevators. Those are always like really cool band names. There was a duo from Montreal called Deja Voodoo that was kind of cool. I guess kind of silly names are kind of fun, but I really enjoy the Cramps, and they kind of said that they wanted to name their name band name like something short and punchy, kind of like the Kinks, and I always thought those kind of band names were really cool, the Cramps and the Kinks and things like that.
Awesome. Do you have any Mahogany Frog music in stock here?
Yeah, we do. Actually, I moved to the city with your dad. I played in Mahogany Frog. I was the drummer. Yeah, I know your dad, Graham, right? Yes, very well. I was the drummer of Mahogany Frog, and we played music together, and I came here with him. He had a great influence on me musically. A lot of his musical tastes are really, really cool. He collects records, right? You have a record collection? Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you for that. Hallie has a side note.
Also, I'll say that Mahogany Frog is a very cool band name in general, like, since we're talking about band names. I think it's catchy, and I've seen posters at, like, libraries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And also, we have one more question. Besides Mahogany Frog, what is your favorite local band here in Winnipeg?
My favorite local band right now. Oh, I'm liking a lot of local bands lately. We like to catch French Class every time, Block Parents. Holy Void is great. There's a lot of great local bands in Winnipeg.
Very nice. Okay, and that's all the questions we have for you here today. Remember that we were at Into the Music, and this is Hallie Kendall and
Ari Epp
signing off.
In a quiet village, there was an old well said to be cursed. One evening, curious and bored, a young girl named Lila decided to peer inside. As she leaned over, she heard a faint whisper, "Help me." Startled, she called for her friends, but no one answered. Compelled by the voice, Lila dropped a stone into the well to see just how deep it was. Instead of the usual splash, she heard a soft, echoing laughter that chilled her to the bone. The voice returned, clear this time. "I'm so glad you came to play." Suddenly, the ground trembled, and Lila felt a cold hand grip her wrist from the darkness below. Panic surged as she tried to pull away, but the grip tightened. Just before she fell in, she screamed for help, and the village echoed with her cries. Days passed, and the villagers noticed Lila's absence, their concern growing into dread. They gathered near the well, murmuring prayers, when suddenly the mysterious whisper returned, now calling their names. That night, the storm raged, and one by one, the children disappeared, drawn by the enchanting yet horrifying laughter that echoed from the cursed well, leaving only silence and the haunting memory of their vanished souls behind.
And hello, we're back, me and Ari. And we have a couple of thank yous from CKUW Radio Camp we'd like to thank. Barry Konzelman, Jason Hooper, Nicole Furlott, Alec Stewart, and Matt Henderson. Thank you very much. And next up, we have a movie review by me and Ari, Darcy's Arc interview, they're going to be interviewing Darcy, and yeah, that's it. Ari, anything you want to add? Oh, and that spooky story was incredible.
Yeah. I have literal goosebumps.
So do I. It made my blood curdle. Spooky, spooky. And the improv, I thought you guys did really good. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. That was amazing.
I guess we can do the movie review now. Okay, so this is you'll see, you'll hear about our amazing review.
Hello, CKUW listeners. I'm Aria.
And I'm Hallie Kendall. You should know by now.
And today, Hallie and I will be reviewing
this summer's newest blockbuster film that will have your heart pumping, your hands gripping the edge of your seat, and have your adrenaline spiked with this summer's
action-packed film, Twisters. Twisters is a sequel to the 1996 Twister, starring Helen Hunt and Billy Paxton. This year's Twisters stars Glenn Powell, most known for Top Gun Maverick, and Daisy Edgar Jones, most known for Where the Crawdads Sing.
This exhilarating movie is jam-packed with thrill, action, drama, and one of Mother Nature's wonders, tornadoes.
With a devastating tornado that results in a fatal event, Kate Carter, played by Daisy Edgar Jones, used to be an adventure seeker storm chaser who had an ambitious dream to kill a tornado, but maybe she pushed it a little too far. She then moved to New York and could study the tornadoes through the comfort of her own computer screen.
Then an old friend finally locates her and entices her back to her hometown, Oklahoma, to do a crucial experiment that could change the face of meteorology itself. When our sophisticated team and internet-famous, witty, and charming Tyler Owens, played by Glenn Powell, and his team of tornado wranglers cross paths. As storm season intensifies to the max, the two teams continue to butt heads as they fight for tornadoes. Will they become friends or remain in an intense battle for tornadoes? You won't even miss the flying cow with the new
modern sequel directed by Lee Isaac Chung and produced by Frank Marshall, who produced the Jurassic Park franchise, Indiana Jones franchise, and the Bourne franchise, and many, many more.
You won't miss the cast whatsoever, and we recommend watching this science thriller in the theaters because experiencing one of nature's most devastating phenomena on the big screen will amplify your experience. We agree Twister deserves 5 out of 5 stars.
Thank you for listening to our movie review, and this is CKUW 95.9 FM with Hallie Kendall and Ari Epp.
And next up, we have Darcy Ark interview, and they will be interviewing Darcy.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Maya.
Hello, my name is Christina.
My name is Maria.
Hi, guys.
We have a bunch of questions for you. Can you please answer it?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask first, how animals end up in your center?
How do they get here?
Yeah.
Okay. We deal mainly with homeless animals that are already been thrown on the street. People get animals that they can't look after. And when the shelters are overflowing, they kind of get tossed out on the street. So this is where we come in. People bring them to us. We work with other animal rescues in Manitoba, the city and the province. And then we arrange for animals to come into our facility when we have space.
Okay, good.
I want to ask you a second question. How many animals do you have, and like what kind, like cats or dogs? How many do you have of them?
Yeah, we just deal with cats and dogs here at our shelter here. And currently, as of today, we have 185 cats and dogs. 3/4 are cats and about 25 dogs, and we are full to capacity.
And I want to ask you another question. On each type of animals, you spend more money.
Okay, basically, it depends. You know, if they come in, a lot of them come from the streets. A, they've been abused, they're starving, they're hungry, they have wounds or infections, or they've been injured badly. So probably over 80% that do come in have some form of injury, whether it's full of ticks at this time of year or ear mites, or they've been injured or missing limbs. So it basically cost us a lot of money to get the animals up for adoption. It all depends.
It's interesting. Which animals are taking more often?
Cats. More cats being tossed out than dogs right now.
Okay, and how people can adopt animal from a center? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, basically we have our own facility here, so we have a 7,000 square foot facility, and we're the largest no-kill shelter in Western Canada. So definitely people can come in and have a look. The cats that are up for adoption live in condos, so you can go into the condo and visit with them. And we have dogs in our glass area, and we got 2 noisy puppies playing in our puppy pen right now. So people can come in and look at the animals, and then we ask them questions, what they're looking for, or, you know, can they actually look after this animal? Do they have a place? Can they afford the vet bills? And we sort of go from there.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah.
And I have another question.
Yeah.
Do you have any funny stories with animals?
Any funny stories? Lots of sad stories, because we've taken a lot of animals, you know, from abusive situation. We have cats that come in with extra toes. So we have Nicole in the shelter right now. She's on our website, and she's got 24 toes, six on each foot. So it's kind of interesting to see and kind of awesome. And it looks kind of funny, but it makes her more adoptable because it's just interesting. A lot of the kittens that come in are cute and adorable. We've got some puppies that are rumbling every 10 minutes, and then they sleep, and then they go to the bathroom, and then they get up again and do the same thing over and over and over again. So it can be funny just watching them. Sometimes you spend 10 minutes just watching the puppies play. So it's kind of cute. It's great. It's a great break from the day, because we do see a lot of sad things at the shelter as well.
Okay.
What difficulties do you have with animals?
With the animals, a lot of them come in from the environment or from the streets, and we don't know what their personalities or what their behavioral traits are. So people sometimes who have animals that are not very friendly for some reason, they do toss them out, and then when they're picked up from a shelter, we have to start from square one and then test them and get them all vet checked. And sometimes if they're shy, a lot of them come very shy or scared, and we know they've been abused because we can test them to see which animals, you know, have been hit or hurt by males or females as well. And so it takes us a while to get to know their behavior. So it's difficult when they come in because we do have to get them checked up. A lot of them are just starving, so a lot of them actually realize there's food available here, and they start coming around pretty fast.
Sad. And here we have the last question.
Yeah.
Do you have any animals which you have adopted from the center?
Myself, yes. Too many. I used to have 13 animals in my house, but you know, there are a lot of the older ones become seniors and they eventually pass on. And I just lost my two dogs this year, so it's kind of sad. My 9-year-old three-legged dog, who was our shelter mascot, and I have a little 15-year-old too, that both passed away this year. But I take foster animals home. Animals, we don't have enough space, or we have kittens or a puppy that need extra help. They're not eating, or they're on medication, or they've had some major surgery that need to go into a home to look after until they're ready to go again. So I will take some home so I can look after them at home, where I have a little more time and more space, and they can get out of the shelter environment because we're just so full here. I have a foster kitten right now with a major eye infection, and she's pretty busy. My older cats are tolerating her, but she runs around the house, she gets her meds, and she's doing much better because I can tell by the way she's playing and running around the house. So it's working.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all what we wanted to ask.
That's everything?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck with your project, guys. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm Cole.
And I'm Hallie.
And we're here to tell you about
food.
Food is a wonderful product designed by our amazing managers.
They're monkeys.
That's an amazing price. That's why I bought it.
But don't take it from us.
Take it from our happy customers.
I gave it to my dog and he grew another leg.
That's nice.
He ate my cat.
Oh.
His name was Snickerdoodles. Do you think cats go to heaven?
Probably not.
My son drank it and it knocked some sense into him.
Good for him.
He's dead now.
Inevitable. But wait, call now so you can get an amazing deal.
Buy one, get one 30% less expired.
I just called 666-666-666, and I got my name on one of those fancy stones in a graveyard.
Food, it's probably meat.
Food is probably meat. Can cause death, cancer, diabetes, rabies, tummy aches, blindness, drunkenness, diarrhea, deja vu, woosiness, delusion, deja vu, goodies, black plague, Spanish flu, yellow fever, polio, coronavirus, deja vu, and deja vu.
This is not a real company.
And hello, me and Ari are back. And
once again.
And that Dorothy Zark interview really touched my heart. That was really sweet.
Yeah, I was crying.
Do you have any animals, Ari?
I have three.
Of?
Cats.
Very nice. I have a dog. Her name's London.
Yeah.
And the next hosts that you'll be hearing are
Amalia and Madeline. And the next song is Don't Stop Believin' by Journey.
Final hosts. I'm Madeline.
I'm Amalia, and you were just listening to Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Fantastic song.
10 out of 10. Coming up, we have a movie review by me about Mamma Mia 2. And then after that, we have a Birdo's interview.
Which by Antonio.
By Antonio, and it is a Mexican food place.
Yeah.
Hello everyone, my name is Maddie, and today I will be doing a movie review on Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again.
If you haven't yet watched it, I strongly recommend. It is a fun, summery movie with gorgeous music and incredible actors. I've watched both Mamma Mia movies so many times, but I honestly prefer the second. It is super creative with the storyline, setting, and everything else. And Lily James, aka Donna, is one of my favorite actors. I would recommend it for ages 10 and up, but everything is very clean and a must watch. The movie takes place in Greece, a gorgeous outdoorsy setting with lots of goats. And if you love ABBA, this is the movie for you. With over 15 songs and so many beautiful singing voices, including Cher, it creates a soundscape that lifts ABBA to a different level of amazing. And in these long wintry months of Winnipeg, this sunny, exotic setting is really welcome. Even in summer, it inspires you to get out and dance in the sunshine. Some people I've asked thinks the movie is slow or boring. Of course, I believe everyone should have their own opinion, but I'd have to strongly disagree. This movie calms me down and is adventurous in its own peaceful way, even though it's not a speedy, action-packed type movie. The relationships in this movie are quite well thought out, and there's a creative use of camera here. First of all, there's the mother-daughter relationship between Donna and Sophie, with very creative camera work partway through the movie. There's also the fun, free-spirited friendship of Donna, Rosie, and Tanya. The supportive and fun-filled days makes for a relaxing, friendly environment. I would give this movie a solid 10 out of 10 for its summer vibes, super fun relationships, glorious scenery, and fabulous music. Thank you for listening.
Hi, Roberto. I wanted to ask you, like, an interview. So this is an interview for you, for your restaurant, Berto's Taqueria. And I wanted to ask you a few questions. Okay. Like, first, I was going to ask you, what inspired you to open Berto's or create Berto's Taqueria?
I opened Berto's because I wanted to sell food that was made by myself. I've always wanted to work in the kitchen or in the restaurant, and I've always wanted to make food. And I enjoy making food for other people, so I thought that opening a small business will help with that. So that's kind of what inspired me to start doing burritos.
You wanted to open a small restaurant of Mexican food, but why do you open Mexican food if you are from Peru?
It's because I lived in the States for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and when I was living there, Mexican food was very popular. So then I moved to Canada, and I found that it was also very popular here, but there was not a lot of restaurants that sold Mexican food in the city. And since I thought that Mexican food was very good and they liked it a lot, and I had some experience with it, I thought that I could open a Mexican food restaurant. The reason why I didn't open a Peruvian restaurant is because I feel like in this part of North America or in this part of Canada, Peruvian food is not as popular as Mexican food, so I thought that Mexican food would probably be a better option for customers here.
So that's why you,